Hello everyone, I am Jessica Saxton, the Environmental Education and Outreach Leader through United Communities AmeriCorps and the host of Living Downstream. Umpqua Watersheds values both human and ecological diversity. We acknowledge that the land upon which Umpqua Watersheds is located was formerly occupied and tended by various indigenous groups, including Cow Creek Umpqua, Coquille, Mulala, and others. Their history is intertwined with this place, and we seek to continue to practice stewardship and reciprocity towards the natural environment which indigenous people did for thousands of years prior to European settlement. We celebrate the strengths and perspectives that different people have to offer, and believe that organizations, communities, and ecosystems are all more resilient when they embrace the unique gifts various individuals can contribute.
Welcome. I have Brian Benz, a professor from Umpqua Community College, here with us today to talk about the Natural Resource Program and more. I also have Casey Helvick, the Executive Director of Umpqua Watersheds, joining this episode of Living Downstream. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself first?
Certainly. Thank you for having me. As Jessica said, I am a professor here at Umpqua Community College. I'm also the Natural Resource Coordinator. I was originally part-time at the inception of the Natural Resource Program, but I definitely helped develop some of the initial courses. That's it. I'm happy to be here.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And Casey, do you want to give an introduction on who you are?
Sure. I'm Casey Hovick. I've been the Executive Director with Umpqua Watersheds for the better part of 10 years in various roles. I have worked really closely with the Natural Resources Program at UCC, going back to when Ken Carlone was instrumental in setting the program up, and got to know Brian through Umpqua Watersheds before the Natural Resources Program, based on some projects and different things he did when he was at the Umpqua National Forest, and was so delighted when he was able to come and take Ken's place after Ken had been there for 33 years and did such an amazing job, to get someone of Brian's caliber to come in there and be part of the Natural Resources Program. What's such a great thing for our community and the Natural Resources Program. I also worked at Umpqua Community College in the financial aid department for 8.5 years before retiring this past June. So we at Umpqua Watersheds are actively involved with UCC in a number of facets, but their major focus is what can we do to support and promote the Natural Resources Program at Umpqua Community College. So it's great to have Brian on board this morning to talk about the Natural Resources Program.
Thank you. So our first question we're going to start off with, what are the differences and similarities between the Natural Resource Program and the Forestry Program at UCC?
So I would say that both programs are really good. I would say that the Natural Resource Program does a great job of opening doors for students. And what I mean by that is we get a lot of students that come into the program. And I was the same way when I went back to school. All I knew is that I wanted to work in the outdoors. I had no idea what that meant. And the Natural Resource Program is set up to introduce these students to a number of the different natural resource areas. You know, I always find it fascinating with the students where they might not know what they want to do. And I had a student come up to me the other day, and I was in class talking about being a botanist for the Forest Service prior to teaching. And she's like, I didn't even know that was a thing. What do you mean? You can get paid to go out there and be in the woods and be a botanist? And that was great, because it, you know, that statement from this student led to a further discussion. And this was kind of a before class type discussion, but it led into discussion. And that was awesome. So I would say, if the students are unsure what they want to do, then I always suggest them to do the natural resources, just because at some point down the road, usually around the second year or sometime during the second year, they take a class and something clicks. I actually just had a student that I've had, he's been going part-time for a few years, and he's taking environmental geology right now. And he was like, this is so cool. And I was like, cool, that's awesome. You know, I never know. Sometimes they take the hydrology course and that just, it makes sense to them. Or they take botany, or they take a wildlife class. You know, at some point it clicks. And it was kind of the same way for me when I was going to community college. I didn't set out on my road my path to become a botanist, but I took a botany class my first year and it just made sense. And so I stayed in school for several years after that to study plants. But comparing it to the forestry program, the types of students that I typically see going into the forestry program are those are the students that have an interest in timber management operations, maybe forestry engineer. A lot of the students, they have some experience of working in the private forest industry or have relatives who have worked there. So those students usually have an idea of what they want to do in comparison to some of the natural resource students. Although we do have people that come into natural resources knowing what they want to do.
Thank you. I can definitely attest to that. I joined the natural resource program not knowing exactly my path and took a wildlife class and fell in love with wildlife. So that has led me to the fish and wildlife conservation path.
Excellent.
I'd like to add, Umpqua Watersheds has been instrumental in helping a number of students decide to become part of the natural resources program. Going back to 2012, we started an earn, learn, and serve program where we were working with juniors and seniors at Phoenix High School, giving them opportunity to do field work, restoration work on the Umpqua National Forest and on BLM land, and then take a class. I think wildlife biology was the class that we paid for through a grant. And then get an opportunity to come back and serve as part of our Twin Lakes Youth Campout, where you're talking to younger kids about why there is no planet B and talking about environmental geology and botany and wildlife biology. And I teach astronomy and just to plant those seeds of interest for our next generation of scientists out there in the environment. So it's so exciting to see where this program has come and where it's going as we continue to work on it and build it together.
Yeah, I totally agree with you 100%, Casey. And we have a number of different opportunities that students are involved with, different kinds of paid internships with different programs. Yeah, and it's so important to get the students out there while they're going to school to also let them gain that experience. And then when they get done with school, they'll have their degree, they'll have so much work experience. And having been a botanist where I would hire crews every year, it's so important to have that experience. You know, I would hire for 9 positions every year. I would get literally hundreds of applications, and you're going through them. And if they had that degree and they've already had some experience, they get moved to the top.
Wonderful, thank you. So, our next question, what type of experience do you bring to the Natural Resource Program?
So, in addition to my education, I was a botanist locally here on the Umpqua National Forest for 11 plus years. I moved here in 2007. I started off on an interdisciplinary team at the supervisor's office where we worked on the larger, more complex projects on the forest. And that gave me a real introduction to a lot of the other resource areas. I did that for a few years, and then we had the botanist out on the districts. She resigned from the Forest Service, and then I stepped into her position, which was a zone district botanist, and that was across the North Umpqua and Diamond Lake Ranger districts. There, I was responsible for conducting surveys for rare plants, invasive weeds, what else, revegetation projects across that 500,000 acres. Not that I did a lot of weed treatments, but I hired a crew every year of 9 people to go out there and do a lot of the invasive weed treatments. Prior to my position on the Umpqua, I was with an FIA crew, which is Forest Inventory Analysis. It's part of the Pacific Northwest Reach Research Station, which is a branch of the Forest Service. And I was a crew lead and a botanist on that crew. And I just spent a couple of seasons, and that was full time, crisscrossing all over California from the Oregon border down to the Los Angeles National Forest and from the Pacific Ocean to Nevada. And just constantly, the first year we were on travel status for probably 8 months out of the year. And then the second year, maybe like 5 or 6 months. And that was an awesome job, and I got to see a lot of beautiful country.
Great. So, Brian, you've worked as a botanist and also taught as a natural resources instructor or teaching as a natural resources instructor. How do you continue to combine both your experiences and continue to teach? And how is the interplay between your field work and professional experience being a botanist and being an instructor and working with young people? And how did you come about this educational role that you're currently in?
Certainly. Prior to the PNW job, I was in grad school finishing up my master's. And I hadn't really thought about being a teacher when I was younger. When I was working on my master's, I was a teaching assistant for classes, and I really enjoyed working in different labs. I did the general bio labs, I did some plant systematic labs and stuff. So I moved down here in 2007. And I got a UCC catalog, and I saw that they had a botany class in the spring term. And I didn't know Ken Carlone at the time. He was teaching it. I didn't know him. And I called him up and said, "Hey, do you want help?" And I had a flexible, of course, he said, "Yes, of course." And I had a flexible schedule at the Forest Service. And the botany class was towards the end of the day. So 2 days a week, I came down here to UCC and help Ken out with his botany classes. I did that the first year. I helped him out the second year. And then he was like, "Hey, you want to teach some lab classes?" "Sure." A little while later, "Hey, you want to teach a lecture class?" "Sure." And so it just evolved. And so I was teaching here for 8, 9 years part-time while I was a botanist on the Umpqua National Forest full time. And so that's kind of how I got my start. And I'm very appreciative of Ken and his help and guiding me along the way. And when he retired, I had to weigh the pros and cons between, I got paid to wander around the woods and look for plants. And to me, that was a pretty cool job. Ultimately, I like teaching more. And it's nice when you have a background. I have a background in the natural resources, it's focused in botany. But I spent many, many years working with different resource specialists, and it's nice to be able to convey that to the students during my classes. I think that's so beneficial.
Brian, I've heard many accolades about your ability to teach and connect with students, and that's so important for Umpqua Community College. What amazed me as you went through this transition, you were working for the Forest Service, you're pe teaching part-time at UCC, and then you went back to get your PhD and all of that, and how you ever managed to do all that at the same time. And not lose your sanity and your marriage. It was amazing. How did you handle all of that type of challenge?
I went without sleep. Yes, at some point, I was working 40 hours a week for service, and I was teaching 10 credits a term here at UCC, and I thought I needed to go back to school. And it's an education doctorate in environmental education. And so every weekend, I got it through Portland State. Every other weekend, I would drive up to Portland on Friday afternoon, take classes Friday night, Saturday during the day, and then the odd weeks we were online. And I did that for 2 years. The doctor says an additional 2 years of coursework, then you have to do the research. And I don't recommend it. I don't recommend working 1.5 jobs and doing a doctorate. All I could do was cut down my sleep, and I was getting like 4 to 5 hours sleep a night for 2 years, and I was pretty wiped after that. I took a couple months off before I started diving into my dissertation. I did it with the organization down here, Alder Creek Community Forest, and so that was nice to be able to work with an environmental education organization here in the community to do the research with. But it's hard. I wouldn't tell anybody that it's easy to do. It's just if you're dedicated and you want to do it, then just do it. You're going to have naysayers. Find those people that are going to support you on your path.
Wow, I can't believe you were sleeping on so few hours getting that PhD.
It It interestingly, it does have an effect on your health. Before I
Yeah.
started, I go see my doctor every year, and I was a year and a half into it, or maybe a year, and I got my blood drawn and all my numbers are up, and the doctor's like, "You can't be doing this. You can't be doing this." And it's like, it's a finite period of time. I will be fine. And after I finished my coursework, all my blood numbers went back down. So I guess to further what Casey had said, the only reason I was able to do it at the time because my wife was working two jobs too. And so she had her regular day job, but in the evening she would go work at a restaurant. And that allowed me to sit at home in the evenings and just write. If she wouldn't have had that second job, I don't think I could have done it.
Moving on to our next question. Thank you. For students that are interested in getting a hands-on experience in the field, what ways would they go about doing this? Do you have any recommendations for them?
Oh, we have a number of different classes that get the students out in the outdoors exploring the natural world. We have our hydraulic or our water resource class where they're down at the river. People don't like me using the word, but for botany, we're out frolicking, looking at flowers and stuff. It's a little more than frolicking. Our wildlife biology professor, she does a good job of getting the students involved with different projects. Like Casey said earlier, we have these different opportunities with our community members, and we have these positions and internships and stuff that students can go work with these groups, and they get that experience in the outdoors and working in jobs that, they're going to potentially take on as a career. And I think that's one of the huge things here, just having some of the connections with the different partners and for the benefit of the students. I mean, it's the benefit of the college, but also the benefit of the students and getting some of that hands-on real-world practice.
What did you like and dislike about having to do field work?
The best part was literally wandering around the woods and looking for plants, and not just and mosses and lichens. Oftentimes, I would be out there by myself. I would drive my truck out to whatever project we're working on. I'd have my GPS, I would have my aerial photograph, I would have my contour map, and I would roam through the woods going to where the habitat where these rare plants live. And on beautiful days, that's the best thing. I don't think there's any downsides to doing field work though. And botany is one of those areas where I didn't have to go out in the snow because the plants aren't blooming then. The only downside, which is a necessity, I would say, is sometimes being in the office and having to sit through meetings. But a lot of those meetings are planning meetings. It's important to have those meetings for different projects that I worked on. But you just can't be wandering around the woods.
Excellent. So, what do you believe sets the natural resources program at UCC apart from other natural resources programs across the state and region?
I think each natural resource program at college, they each fulfill a particular niche. And so how is ours, I wouldn't say how is our better, but how is it different? I like the program because I really believe in having worked with, the Forest Service and seeing the type of new people that are coming into that profession. I think that our program does a really good job of providing a foundation in a number of different natural resource areas. Our program is set up as a transfer program to the university, and we worked with Oregon State University to make sure our program aligned with theirs to make it much easier for students to transfer over. But we do have students that get their 2-year degree, and I have a couple of students now that they went off and got jobs with the Forest Service. And they're happy. Some other things to set us apart, the support from the community members. It took me a little while to think about after working here, but we're a community college. The community plays, Casey's smiling there. The community plays a role. And I think, as I said, each college is going to have their little niche and they're going to have their own community partners, but we have some great community partners, and they help us to give those opportunities to the students.
Yeah, I'm very proud of Umpqua Community College. I think it provides a very unique opportunity because of our community. Douglas County is about 80% the size of Connecticut, and over half of Douglas County is public land with Forest Service, and the Umpqua National Forest being a large part of it, the Elliott State Forest, the BLM lands on the checkerboard. And the fact that we've got all these agency professionals. So I've gotten to know a lot of forest people, Forest Service people. My wife, Janice Reed, worked for the Forest Service as a wildlife biologist for 33 years. Because of her and my connection to Umpqua Watersheds and the Partnership for Umpqua Rivers, gotten to know all these agency people and what we're trying to do at Umpqua Watersheds and with our students at UCC and the Natural Resources Program, is get them connected with these people, create a network. And we're so fortunate to have our AmeriCorps from last year, Viviana Young, now going back and being part of the Natural Resources Program after she already had her 4-year degree, and our AmeriCorps this year, Jessica, who's doing her interview here. Jessica Saxton is doing such great work incorporating her experiences in the classroom with what we're trying to do in the community, doing outreach and creating opportunities for people to learn about this Umpqua Basin watershed and what so many different opportunities. One of the things that we want to do with UCC and would love to get you involved in is something we've been working on for a number of years is creating what we're calling a sea-to-sea trip from Crater Lake to the coast, because that encompasses the whole Umpqua Basin, and then making it a 3 or 4 day trip and aligning it with different communities on that trip. So we roll into town, we talk about environmental geology, botany, wildlife biology, history, and get people to understand just how special the Umpqua Basin is, and at the same time, hopefully getting more students into the natural resources program and general people in the community saying, yeah, this is a special place. Let's hang on to it and do what we can to preserve, protect, restore, and celebrate. So kind of got on my soapbox there, but I'm very passionate about it, as you know.
Thanks, Casey. So on to our next question. The Natural Resource Program is pretty broad and allows students to find their niche and what they're really passionate about. So for the students that are looking to come to UCC for the Natural Resource Program, what qualities or experiences would help these students be especially successful in the program?
I would say they need to have a desire to work in the outdoors. We do our best. Some classes are lecture, but we do our best to get the students experience they need to be successful. Many of the students that join the program, they like classes where they get to use their hands, hands-on type stuff. And so you need to get those people outside and do things. Even the other day in my forest biology class, instead of me standing there lecturing, I basically had an activity for people to do that kind of mimicked like a speed dating setup, but it was speed biologing, and they had paper and they would just kind of rotate and discuss what the topics were that I put down on the paper. But the students said they really enjoyed it because it got them up moving around instead of just sitting there listening to me speak, to lecture. But other ways to become successful, I'd say get to know your professors. Stop by them, ask them questions. The majority of us are here to help you. We have that experience. We have the experience in what we're teaching about, but we also have the experience in school. Most of us have been in school for a long time, and even though every student has their unique situation when it comes to academia, we've probably gone through it. And so you have your professors that have this wealth of knowledge, not only about school, but also about the classes that they're teaching. So just get to know them. Stop by, bring me a coffee or something, or you don't have to do that.
Thank you. So you've kind of already talked about this a little bit, but Do you feel that the program prepares students for after college, such as university or going into the workforce? Do you feel like that they are prepared?
Yes, I really do. And I know we talked about a little bit before. I think you can almost step back with that question. Does high school prepare a student to go to college or to go to university? And I think community college is a great place to start. That's where I got to start. I think it's a great place to start. We have smaller class sizes, which are beneficial. Of course, it's, the cost of community college is much cheaper than university. The program, Natural Resource Program, is a transfer degree. And as I said earlier, we've worked with Oregon State to make sure that our program aligns with their program. So that's helping them to prepare. We hear from Oregon State that a lot of students, they need help with their writing. So we try to assign more, have more writing assignments. Everybody needs to write more. So we hear these things back from the university, and we try to incorporate that into our classes.
Thank you.
So, tell me, when students enter the natural resources program for whatever reason, maybe they have an idea of what they want to be, whether it's a botanist or a wildlife biologist or a hydrologist. How long does it do they go through a most of them go through a standard program when they come in for 2 years and transfer, or is it all across the board? Do people come in and take different amounts of time to get through the program?
It does. A very general answer. It's a 2-year degree, but it really depends on people's situations. And I'll use myself as an example. When I went back to school, my math and English skills were not up to what people would consider par and or to the requirements for the degree. So it took me a little bit longer. It took me 3 years to finish my associate's degree. I started off at math 60, and then I do 65, 95, then I finally got into the 100 level classes. And so everybody's situation is unique. We definitely have students that come in, their math is really, math and English are awesome, and they can just come into the program and they'll finish it in 2 grades, in 2 years. I have one student I mentioned earlier. He's been going at it part-time. People have lives. We have single parents, moms and dads that are single, with kids. So everybody kind of has their own situation. And yes, some people definitely finish in 2 years. Some people take longer. Some people take 3 years, 4 years. I think the important thing is just to keep moving forward. And I try to tell that to my students. They're like, oh, I want to take a break. And it's like, just take one class next term. Just keep that momentum, keep moving forward. And you'll be surprised because at some time down the road, you're going to finish your degree. I had that when I was going to school. I was a little bit older, and people would be like, oh, you need to take a break. No, I'm going to keep going. Finish the associates. Oh, you need to take a break. No. Stay away from the naysayers. Find those people that support you. If it's something you wanted to do and you've always wanted to work in outdoors, stay in school or just keep that momentum going.
I agree with you more, Brian, and Jessica. You can talk about your experience. I'm so ex proud of Jessica, the way she's approached it, and you can share that in a second. But it to me, we're all lifelong learners, and the fact that we are when you can nest both your work life and your academic life together and get that done, it brings out things in you and you in yourself that you didn't know that you had. At least it did for me. When I came here, I didn't know anything about environmentalism to any great degree, So I went back and got my master of environmental law and policy, so I could feel like at least I know the language and what's going on. I had the administrative part of being an executive director down, but at working for Umpqua Watersheds, there was so much that I didn't know, and I didn't have 30 years to learn it, so I had to go back and get that degree. And even though it was challenging and stressful, I grew a lot because of it. And I see so many students doing the same thing, where they're working full-time jobs, going to UCC, doing field work. And in a process of managing it all, it just builds up your confidence and ability. ability to be resilient. And I would say that's a number one thing to anyone's success in life is learning to be resilient. And that's what you've shown and what Jessica's shown.
I would agree. I think just continue taking the classes, like Brian said, even if it's one class a term. I did that and I'm still going. I started my degree a while back and I'm on 4 years now because I work full time and I volunteer and I do part-time or full-time schooling when I can. And so this winter term, I will finally be taking my last class and getting my associates. But I have been dual enrolled with OSU. So while I've been going for my associates, I've also been working on my bachelor's. And I roughly have a year and a half left for that as well. So just keep taking those classes because you'll gain the knowledge and you'll eventually get that degree.
See, that's awesome. And that's awesome that you're going to be done with the degree next term. So is there a standard time frame? There aren't standard people. I mean, there are people that do it in the standard 2 year time frame, but don't judge yourself against, you know, somebody else. You're your own person. You have your own situation.
I guess our next question is for young teachers, what would be your biggest piece of advice for them coming in as young teachers?
That's an interesting question. Get to know your students, be accessible to your students, you know, help to create new experiences for your students. You know, I'm not one to judge other teachers, but I've met some wonderful educators, and the best ones that I know, they have a connection with their students and they're always available to help out. They don't sit there and say, oh, it's 5 o'clock, I got to go, sorry. You know, you see these videos or you hear stories about the teacher that hasn't eaten lunch. You know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they still haven't had lunch. That's true. Or you need to go to the restroom because you're here for the students. And you need to be here for the students. You need to be present in the moment.
Well, one thing, I want to give a plug to KQUA and what Umpqua Watersheds is trying to do with this radio station is to provide information and opportunities for our community to participate in. And we started this radio show called Living Downstream with our the AmeriCorps prior to our last one, Ryan Kincaid. We added it as a requirement to do this radio show. And it takes a lot of work. It takes about 10 hours a week to put on a radio show. But what it does for our AmeriCorps, and it works really well, especially for Jessica and Viviana, who are in the Natural Resources Program, in the course of putting on and putting together the radio show, they're able to interview and create a network of people within their field of interest so that as they grow, they develop these, as the radio show grows, they're able to have these connections out in the field that they're able to utilize to wherever they end up going, whether it's in school or if one of the agencies, they've made a connection. But at the same time, they're providing that connection for anyone listening to the radio show or the podcast. And we're in the process of dramatically expanding our reach, our terrestrial reach. Right now, we have a small signal that anyone in downtown Roseburg can hear. But within the next month, we'll have an antenna up on Scott Mountain. So the whole Umpqua Basin basically will be able to hear our radio and on the radio and their car radios. Anyone can hear it around the world at kqua.org. But we're really excited about the opportunity the radio station will provide Umpqua Community College to promote the college, to promote the programs, to add to programming themselves of interest and to get experience in talking to people as Jessica is doing today and talking to somebody about the Natural Resources Program. How can we expand that? And also to get other community organizations involved in what we're doing. If we can all start working together and working on little pieces that strengthen our community and do some cross-pollination in the process, then we're growing and we're building resiliency, which is not only important for people, but organizations, because you have multiple angles that you're approaching the problem.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Casey. And that's one thing I like about being here. When I worked for the Forest Service in this area, that would give people a certain perception. And I feel more neutral here, and the ability to work with many different partners, and hopefully we need to work together. We can have a much better, if product is a desired goal, we get a much better product by working together. I think that's so important.
Absolutely. And I want to mention that both Brian and I are on the board for the Partnership for Umpqua Rivers, which is a local watershed council, which is a collaborative. We have people from the industry there. We have environmentalists and recreation people. We have county government on there. We have people who have cattle ranches. And we're all coming together to look at the major restoration projects being done in the Umpqua to restore our watersheds. And it's about $3 million a year that goes into those projects, but we're kind of we oversee them and work to make sure that the staff at the Partnership for Umpqua Rivers is successful. One of the things that's been missing for several years, because the major funding comes from Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, OWEB, they quit funding education, but we're looking for other ways, other grant funders to come in and allow us to do educational programs with these restoration projects, so we can take students out in the field and either through a volunteering, we have a major project, Rock Creek Restoration Project after Archie Creek Fire. It's a major project the BLM is working on with Partnership for Umpqua Rivers. And students have had hands-on opportunity to go out and plant trees and be able to see what they're doing to restore the Rock Creek area that is was severely degraded over years for a number of reasons. So that's what we're trying to do. And if we can keep doing that, building on different projects like that. Another one I want to mention is another collaborative project that we're working with a local group called Source One Serenity. They take veterans who many have PTSD out in there, and they are able to help recover from the challenges they're facing by restoring trails. So they got a major grant to the Oregon Fish and Wildlife to restore the Boulder Creek Wilderness Trail that was closed down 20 years ago because of major fire. So they're working with their veterans and other groups to restore that trail. Umpqua Watersheds has been tasked to do the monitoring part of that project. So we want to get up there and look at what do the trails look like? What are this, what they call social trails? We want to get botanists up there to what type of invasive plants do we see? What type of natural plants and processes are taking place? What type of wildlife is there? So that's an opportunity to work with Brian and his students to get them some hands-on experience and working collaboratively with a very important group and Umpqua Watersheds.
Yeah, and I've already had students go help out and work with Source One Serenity. They had an awesome project set up last year. It was a little more agricultural based. It had to do with worm castings and such. And one of the is actually a forestry student. He's a veteran, and he went and worked on that project. And I was raving about it to my students. It's like, this is science. You got to go, email them, let them know you want to do this project. And one of the students got it, and he went and worked with them. Yeah, so we definitely have that contact. They're doing some really great things, and they're definitely helping out some of the veterans.
Well, the collaboration is so important in these divisive times. That's all we hear is how no one can agree on anything. But that when it comes to the Umpqua community, that's not the case. We can vehemently disagree on multiple things. As an environmentalist on the PIRB board, not everyone is going to agree with my perspective, but I'm proud in providing that perspective.
Right.
What's drastically missing in today's polarized world is respect for each other and trying to find the greatest common denominator. And I don't think there's a bigger common denominator than providing educational opportunities for students and to work together to their benefit.
Yeah, I was really, when I joined the board there at Partnership for Umpqua Rivers, I was really impressed with the amount and the different views of the community members that are on the board. Yeah, I think that's amazing. That's the direction we need to be going.
Absolutely. And I'm very proud of my connection to several of the industry people that I haven't had a connection with before, and the fact that we can talk about things that we can agree on and work on major problems. And we want to continue to do that both with PUR and Umpqua Watersheds and Umpqua Community College. How can we bring people together to do good thing for our community and then keep doing it? Can you tell us about OSU and what type of work do you do with them to make sure that students either going after a 2-year degree to OSU or staying here and finishing their degree online, how do you work to make sure that there is a connection between the UCC program and the OSU Natural Resources program?
The biggest way there is that I've been working with the head advisor up at OSU to make sure that we can provide the classes that the students would do during the first 2 years at OSU. Yeah, we're a community college. We don't teach 300, 400 level classes. I've actually been in a process of reviewing the natural resource program. There have been some changes at or OSU, and I need to rethink some things on what I'm going to do. Last year, probably 2 years ago, they had introduced a continuation of the Intro to Natural Resource class. And I wasn't aware of it until well into the next year. And it's something that we could teach here, but you have to have your paperwork in time. And I'm in the process of getting that paperwork submitted this year so we can teach this extra class in the 2023, 2024 academic year. So it's just there's a lot of moving pieces. They're awesome. Their head advisor's awesome. And when I was doing the natural resource program, we'd send emails back and forth and say, hey, here's what I came up with based on the classes that we have. And then she went through her approval process and we're good to go. So, but I think it's important to review the programs every few years, 3 or 4 years. So I'll be doing that here in the near future.
Great. Well, I sure appreciate you being with us today, but I really think how can we, Umpqua Watersheds and other people in the community that really care about the Natural Resources Program at UCC help to promote the program and make it something that people even from outside of the Umpqua want to come in because of our wealth of natural resources in our community or in public lands in our community. How can we get people interested in the natural resources program at UCC?
I think we have to change people's perceptions. And sometimes there's positive, sometimes there's negative perception of what natural resources are. We had some people from a private timber organization the other day come and talk to the forestry club, and I was sitting there. And one was a former student that went on and got his bachelor's degree in forestry. And then the other one actually had a natural resources degree. And he was saying how there's starting to be a shift in the language, and it's perfectly fine to have a natural resource degree and get a job in the forestry field and more timber management. I know our timber person, the person that had the degree in forestry, had the opportunity to take some other classes. So I think we need to have people open to supporting the program. Yeah, if they have questions, contact me. I would rather have people contact me to ask me the questions than just have this perception in their mind of what we're doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense is working with you to get connected, working with the agencies to provide volunteer and maybe even paid opportunities for students to participate in. and to educate people. I've gotten to know a lot of professional natural resources programs that come into our community. Ask them, how did they get involved in natural resources? How did, what school did you go to? What did they do well? And what can we do here to really grow our program? I think we have an opportunity to have something very, very special. We already do have something very special, but to build on that, where people, it can be recognized because of the resources that we have here, especially the beautiful campus at Umpqua Community College. That we have natural resources all around the college. You can go see the river, and opportunity to be immersed in nature here is something that a lot of people, especially at the big schools, don't get to do because they're in the city.
And we invite people from different backgrounds to come talk to our classes. I think that's important, and that's involving the community. I think that's very important, and it's important for the students to hear what they have to say. You had talked about earlier about the board, with PERS, and we need to learn to work together. It's okay to have a different opinion about something, but let's come together, talk about it, and come up with a solution. And so I know sometimes people come and talk with my class. Maybe some of the students don't agree with it. It's like, yes, but that's something you should hear. You shouldn't just be so focused on your viewpoint. You should be in school. You should be literally expanding your, well, maybe not literally, but expanding your mind and thinking differently. I would hope that by the time a student finishes their degree, that they're thinking about the world a little bit differently. And if they're not, then I don't feel like I'm doing my job.
Exactly. There are so many complex problems in the world, and that's where I believe we're getting into trouble, where we are get fixated on just our point of view, that we're not willing to get outside of our comfort zone and talk about different perspectives. But I've always said, unless, and it's a dimming thing, looking from a systems perspective, of trying to seek first to understand and then being understood. So if you're able to look at something that someone's approaching from a different perspective and at least explain it in their own words so that you can acknowledge, yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't agree with you for a number of reasons, but at least you've taken the time to understand that perspective. It'll make you stronger and hopefully build some bridges in the process so that you can work together collaboratively in one way or another and solve these complex problems. Great. Well, I sure appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be a guest on this episode of Living Downstream and providing knowledge about the Natural Resource Program at Umpqua Community College. Thank you for listening to this episode of Living Downstream.